The neighborhood was vibrant. I mean, you had the two stinky plants where they, what was the name of those butcher plants? Moffitt was one. What was the other one? Right down on Evans, where the red building was, that was where one facility was, and then across the street was where the other one. And that's why it was called Butchertown down in that area. You had clothing stores, shoe repairs, dime stores, furniture stores, a toy store, several restaurants, a variety store, all on 3rd Street. Whatever, and gas stations, whatever you needed was right in this neighborhood. So that's what we're trying to get back to. I don't forgot what Al Nauman and them called their part of that project. That's when the whole hill, when I say the whole hill, the top of the hill was developed. Then the shipyard closed in 1974. There was an incident prior to the shipyard, closing, where a young man up on Hunters Point was shot by a policeman. They had, I think he was 14 years old, his name was Peanuts. They was joyriding, took somebody's car. And when they got out of the car, if you stand where this accident took place, the policeman lied. Because I know a little bit about guns. And you don't shoot up and the bullet come down in a bowl and hit somebody in the back. Maybe in the head, but not in the back. So that's what tore up the whole Bayview. And prior to that, any service that you need, you could find between Evans and Jamestown. So the community went ballistic, tore up 3rd Street. Then we had what I hate to say, but it was true, the Great White Flight, where real estate brokers took advantage of both the white folks and the black folks. They made money both ways. They had the white folks afraid because the war housing was being replaced, and in order to get rid of those people so that they could build the new housing, they gave them resettlement monies. And that's how this neighborhood became predominantly black home ownership, because of, I think it was around $4,000 that they were given to move out of their place and relocate. So the real estate brokers had them buying property that was owned by the Maltese and the Italian Americans, and then they were selling properties to them down in San Bruno and Brisbane and San Mateo. I mean, so when you look at this, it's an ugly truth. So this neighborhood became the highest home ownership in San Francisco, black owned. Fast forward from that, after the shipyard closed, there were many people without employment. So that was a whole nother genre. Redevelopment came in. We became the Project Area Committee. We have all these concepts. And what's interesting, Trans Bay. Now, we can't put Mission Bay into this because it took them 40 years to get where they are. But Trans Bay, AT&T, Pier 70, came behind us, and now they're ahead of us. So my thing is, we've worked real hard for the last 12, 13, 14 years. What do we do wrong? Why isn't our process going alone? I know this is all of San Francisco. This is the only part of San Francisco that's got any open land. I understand that. But how do you start a project, and in 3 years you can get past a process that's been in place for 15 or more years. See, I'm having a hard time with that. So I have nothing against what I saw when I went to the workshop for Pier 70. I've not seen what they're planning for the AT&T part. But I am concerned about what it does to Parcel A on the shipyard. Now, that's the only piece that's been turned over to the city. We keep talking about the rest of the build-out, but that DDA has to be completed, that whole nine yards. And did we do it to ourselves? You know, because we insist that it be cleaned up and everything dug up and moved someplace else. Initially, that was my thought. But after a lot of research on my own and going to workshops, asking questions, knowing that the toxins take, in some instances, according to what they are, 1,000 years to deplete itself out of the soil. So the area you're going to dump it in 1,000 years, will there be a need to build housing there now? And you've contaminated that area? Are you going to have a land deed that suggests that you can't do anything with this ground for the next 1,000 years? How are you going to do that? So having gone to Boston and seeing what they did at Dudley Street, I no longer want us to dig up stuff and transport it and contaminate another area. We know what to do. We know how to contain it, where it is. That's where I am. Let's do what's best for everybody, not what's best for us right now. We talk about the earthquakes and how the liquefaction. Well, that's God's business. We don't know whether there's going to be an earthquake, and we don't know what's going to happen if it does. But anyway, that's where I am. You got to make some big money to be able to stay in San Francisco. And I was blessed. I bought this house in 1969. A divorced mother raising 5-4 of my own and my nephew for $16,500. And there's a 2-bedroom apartment downstairs. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. And so to have $2,000 and $3,000 for your housing costs a month, I don't know anybody that make that kind of money. So, like my grandchildren, they are looking for apartments. The only thing they can find that they can afford is either in Antioch, Vallejo, you know, even Oakland now is getting it a little bit too much. And the affordable properties, and I've said this for the last 10 years, affordable to whom? Now, I think I have a decent pension and Social Security to maintain my lifestyle, but I could not afford to move out of this house and rent anything. But anyway, that's where we are. And who knows? Who knows what the neighborhood's going to look like in the next 10, 15 years? Who knows?